Chapter 5. At the same moment that I am taking my leave of Abedic, 6,000 light-years away, in a star system known only by NGC numbers and navigation coordinates, a Pax task force of 3 fast-attack torch ships, led by Father Captain Federico de Soia, is destroying an orbital forest. The ouster trees have no defenses against the Pax warships, and the encounter might be described more accurately as slaughter than battle. I must explain something here. I am not speculating about these events. They occurred precisely as I described them. Nor am I extrapolating or guessing in the scenes I am about to share when I tell you what Father Captain de Soia or the other principals did when there were no witnesses present, or what they thought, or what emotions they felt. These things are literal truth. Later, I will explain how I came to know these things, to know them without hint of distortion. But for now, I ask that you accept them for what they are, the truth. The 3 Pax torch ships drop from relativistic velocities under more than 600 gravities of deceleration, what spacefarers for centuries have called raspberry jam delta V, meaning, of course, that if the internal containment fields were to fail for a microsecond, the crews would be little more than a layer of raspberry jam on the deck plates. The containment fields do not fail. At 1 AU, Father Captain de Soia brings up the orbital forest in the viewsphere. Everyone in the combat control center pauses to glance at the display. Several thousand of the ouster-tailored trees, each at least half a kilometer long, move in an elaborate choreography along the plane of the ecliptic. Gravity-clustered copses, braided strands and subtly shifting patterns of trees, always moving, their leaves always turned toward the G-type sun, their long branches shifting to find the perfect alignment, their thirsty roots deep in the vaporous fog of moisture and nutrients provided by the shepherd comets moving among the forest clusters like giant dirty snowballs. Flitting between the branches of these trees and between the trees themselves, ouster variants are visible, humanoid shapes with silver reflective skin and micro-thin butterfly wings extending hundreds of meters. These wings catch the sunlight from moment to moment as they open and blink like brilliant Christmas lights within the green foliage of the orbital forest.
"Fire,"
says Father Captain Federico de Soia. At 2/3 AU, the 3 torch ships of Pax Task Force Magi open up with their long-distance weapons. At that distance, even energy beams would seem to crawl toward their targets like lightning bugs on a black bedsheet. But the Pax ships carry hypervelocity and hyperkinetic weapons, essentially small Hawking Drive starships in their own right, some carrying plasma warheads, which are spun up to relativistic velocities in microseconds to detonate within the forest. Others designed simply to drop back into real space, their mass enlarged, and to plow through the trees like cannonballs fired through wet cardboard at point-blank range. Minutes later, the 3 torch ships are within energy beam distance, and the CPBs lance out in 1,000 directions simultaneously. Their beams visible because of the riot of colloidal particles now filling space like dust in an old attic. The forest burns. Tailored bark, O2 pods, and self-sealing leaves burst from violent decompression, or are sawed through by beams and shaped plasma blast tendrils, and the escaping globules of oxygen fuel the fires amid the vacuum until the air freezes or burns away. And the forest burns. Tens of millions of leaves fly away from the exploding forest, each leaf or cluster of leaves its own blazing pyre, while trunks and branches burn against the black background of space. The shepherd comets are struck and then volatilize in an instant, blasting the braided strands of forest apart in expanding shockwaves of steam and molten rock fragments. Space-tailored ousters, Lucifer's angels, as the pack's forces have contemptuously called them for centuries, are caught in the explosions like translucent moths in a flame. Some are simply blown apart by the plasma explosions or comet bursts. Others are caught in the path of CPBs and become hyperkinetic objects themselves before their delicate wings and organs are flung apart. Some attempt to flee, expanding their solar wings to the maximum in a vain attempt to outrun the carnage. None survive. The encounter takes less than 5 minutes. When it is done, the Magi task force decelerates through the forest at a diminished 30 gravities, the fusion flame tails of the torch ships igniting any tree fragments that have escaped the initial attack. Where the forest had floated in space 5 minutes before, green leaves catching the sunlight, roots drinking the spheres of comet water, ouster angels floating like radiant gossamers among the branches. Now there is only a torus of smoke and expanding debris, filling the plane of the ecliptic along this arc of space. "Any survivors?" asks Father Captain DeSoya. Standing along the edge of the C-cubed central display, his hands clasped behind his back, balancing easily, with only the balls of his feet touching the stick-tight strip around the display rim. Despite the fact that the torch ship is still decelerating under 30 gravities, the combat control center is held at a constant 1/50th standard G microgravity. The dozen officers in the room sit and stand with their heads toward the center of the sphere. DeSoya is a short man in his mid-30s, standard. His face is round, the skin dark, and friends had noticed over the years that his eyes reflected priestly compassion more frequently than military ruthlessness. They are troubled now. "No survivors," says Mother Commander Stone, DeSoya's executive officer and another Jesuit. She turns from the tactical display to shunt into a blinking comm unit. DeSoya knows that none of his officers in the C-cubed are pleased by this engagement. Destroying ouster orbital forest is part of their mission. The seemingly innocuous trees serve as refueling and refitting centers for combat swarms. But few Pax warriors take pleasure in wanton destruction. They were trained as knights of the church, defenders of the Pax, not as destroyers of beauty or murderers of unarmed life forms, even if those life forms were tailored ousters who had surrendered their souls. "Lay in the usual search pattern," DeSoya orders. "Tell the crew to stand down from battle stations." On a modern torch ship, the crew consists of only these dozen officers and half a dozen others spread throughout the ship. Suddenly, Mother Commander Stone interrupts. "Sir, a Hawking drive distortion reading up angle 72, coordinates 229-43-105. C-plus exit point at 700.5000 clicks. Probability of single vehicle, 96%. Relative velocity unknown." "Full battle stations," says DeSoya. He smiles slightly without being aware of doing so. Perhaps the ousters are rushing to the rescue of their forest. Or perhaps there was a single defender, and it has just launched a standoff weapon from somewhere beyond the system's Oort cloud. Or perhaps it is the vanguard of an entire swarm of ouster fighting units, and his task force is doomed. Whatever the threat, Father Captain DeSoya prefers a fight to this vandalism. "Vehicle is translating," reports the acquisition officer from his perch above DeSoya's head. "Very good," says Father Captain DeSoya. He watches displays flicker before his eyes, resets his shunt, and opens several virtual optic channels. Now the C-cubed fades away and he stands in space, a giant 5 million clicks tall, seeing his own ships like specks with flaming tails, the curved column of smoke that is the destroyed forest bending past at belt height. And now this intruder, flicking into existence 700,000 clicks and an arm reach above the plane of the ecliptic. Red spheres around his ships show external fields at combat strength. Other colors fill space, displaying sensor readings, acquisition pulses, and targeting preparation. Working on the millisecond tactical level, DeSoya can launch weapons or unleash energies by pointing and snapping his fingers. "Transponder beacon," reports the comm officer. "Current codes check. It is a Pax Courier, Archangel class." DeSoya frowns. What can be so important that the Pax Command is sending the Vatican's fastest vehicle, a craft so swift that it is also the Pax's greatest secret weapon? DeSoya can see the Pax codes surrounding the tiny ship in tactical space. Its fusion flame reaches scores of kilometers. The ship is using almost no energy on internal containment fields, and the gravities involved are beyond raspberry jam levels. "Uncrewed?" queries DeSoya. He desperately hopes so. Archangel-class ships can travel anywhere in known space within days, real-time days, rather than the weeks of ship time and years of real time demanded by all other craft. But no one survives Archangel voyages. Mother Commander Stone steps into the tactical environment with him. Her black tunic is almost invisible against space, so that her pale face seems to float above the ecliptic, sunlight from the virtual star illuminating her sharp cheekbones. "No, sir," she says softly. Her voice can be heard only by DeSoya in this mode. Beacon indicates two members of the crew in fugue. "Dear Jesus," whispers DeSoya. It is more prayer than curse. Even in high-G fugue tanks, these two people, already killed during C-plus travel, will now be more a micro-thin layer of protein paste than healthy raspberry jam. "Prepare the resurrection creches," he says on the common band. Mother Commander Stone touches the shunt behind her ear and frowns. "Message embedded in code. Human couriers are to be resurrected priority Alpha, dispensation level Omega." Father Captain DeSoya's head snaps around and he stares at his executive officer for a silent moment. The smoke from the burning orbital forest swirls around their waists. Priority resurrection defies the doctrine of the Church and the rules of the Pax Command. It is also dangerous. The chances for incomplete reintegration go from near zero at the usual 3-day rate to almost 50% at the 3-hour level. And priority level Omega means His Holiness on Pacham. DeSoya sees the knowledge in his exec's eyes. This courier ship is from the Vatican. Either someone there or someone in Pax Command, or both, considered this message important enough to send an irreplaceable Archangel courier ship to kill two high-ranking Pax officers, since no one else would be trusted with an Archangel, and to risk incomplete reintegration of those same two officers. In tactical space, DeSoya raises his eyebrows in response to his exec's questioning look. On the command band, he says, "Very well, Commander. Instruct all three ships to match velocities. Prepare a boarding party. I want the fugue tanks transferred and the resurrections completed by 0630 hours. Please give my compliments to Captain Hearn on the Melchior and Mother Captain Boulez on the Gaspar, and ask them to join me on the Balthazar for a meeting with the couriers at 0700. Father Captain DeSoya steps from tactical space to the reality of the C-cubed. Stone and the others are still looking at him. "Quickly," says DeSoya, and kicks off from the display rim, flying across the space to his private door and pulling himself through the circular hatch. "Wake me when the couriers are resurrected," he says to the white faces watching him in the seconds before the door irises shut.